Russ Harding. He is with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. He is the director of the center's Property Rights Network, an initiative which was launched in 2007 to elevate public awareness to property rights, encourage policymakers to respect property rights. Russ, how are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm fine. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for being with us. I recently read a piece that you wrote, and it really caught me off guard. I want to read the first paragraph of this. It's titled, EPA's Attack on Coal Could Be Deadly. The number one weather-related killer in the United States is not hurricanes or tornadoes, but rather heat waves. The elderly and poor without central air conditioning in their homes are most vulnerable to the inevitable periods of hot weather experienced in much of the country during the summer months. The United States Environmental Protection Agency, under the direction of Lisa Jackson, has launched, and I quote, an all-out war on coal-fired power plants, the results of which could be deadly during heat waves. That's quite a statement.
Well, that's right. You know, a lot of people think about hurricanes, of course, and tornadoes, and they can be severe. But overall, if you look at the statistics compiled by the government, far and away, on an average, is about almost 700 a year. Heat waves are the biggest killers in the country.
Well, why coal? Because as you know, and most of us know, coal is it's cheap to transfer it into an energy source is pretty cheap and pretty safe. So why the war?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think it stems a lot from environmental groups and others who believe that man-caused global warming is a severe danger. And, of course, they blame the burning of fossil fuels and particularly coal for causing an increase in CO2. And so there was a push in Congress. And, in fact, after the elections a few years ago when the Democrats took control of both the presidency and the House and Senate, there was a assumption that legislation that's called cap and trade, limiting basically how much energy can be used in the country in the form of fossil fuels, would pass. It didn't. Congress balked at that once they saw the price tag, which is very high. And therefore, President Obama, through the EPA and his appointees in the EPA, decided that he would reach the same end goal, not with legislation, but by administrative fiat. In other words, regulations are passing through Congress. There's a whole series of those that EPA has either passed, promulgated into rule, or is about to do so, which for all practical purposes will make the use of coal so expensive and so difficult that it will cause many coal-fired power plants around the country, including Michigan, to shut down. And by the way, we get about two-thirds of our electricity in this state from coal-fired power plants.
And you write that over half of the electricity generated in America comes from coal-fired power plants. So we have this challenge. Where are we as far as this legislation? I can imagine that some folks are battling it, trying to see what they can do.
Well, Congress had made a couple attempts to stop the EPA from these draconian rulemakings, and it has so far failed. I think that you'll continue to see that pressure. And in fact, during the budget negotiations, not the recent ones, but the ones earlier in the year, there was a pretty drastic cut of about 17% of EPA's budget, just because many, and it's not just Republicans, many of your moderate Democrats also are very concerned about EPA's, very strict rules. And it comes at a terrible time, too. The danger is one thing if we got to really be concerned about electric reliability, but also it takes a real bad hit on jobs in the economy, because energy is a mainstay of our economy. It's implicit in almost anything we buy or use. When the price of that goes up, the price of everything goes up, and particularly for middle class and people maybe on the lower end of the economic spectrum, it makes up a bigger portion of their budget. So when they've got to pay, we saw this really drastic with gasoline price increase this summer. We've seen what it's done in tanking the economy and killing jobs. because people have to spend more to put money in the tank, or they got to spend more to run the air conditioner or the heater in their home. They just don't have that to buy other goods and services, which is a real problem in our economy.
What about wind power, solar power, large-scale dams for hydropower, or even gas-fired power plants?
Well, the problem with the alternative energy, in the case of Michigan, you're primarily talking wind, is wind is not reliable. And in fact, there isn't any wind farm anywhere in the world that operates more than one-third of the time. Wind doesn't work when it's not windy enough, and it doesn't work when it's too windy. And ironically, your heat waves occur in the summer, and generally it's not very windy when it's the hottest. You get these hot, muggy, still days, and wind does not do much to contribute to electric generation during those times. So wind is not going to be much of an answer, and particularly in Michigan, solar is a problem, you know, due to our climate. Probably the best bet to make up the loss you'd have from coal-fired power plants is natural gas. We have found abundant natural gas in the country. However, that's going to be more costly. It takes more money to run these power plants using natural gas as a fuel. And natural gas is the preferred heating fuel for in Michigan particularly, but yeah, throughout much of the U.S. that people heat their homes with natural gas. So if we use large-scale conversion from coal to natural gas to make electricity, you'll probably see a pretty steep increase in the cost of natural gas because there will be much, much more of a natural gas demand.
Outside of a tornado or a hurricane, what did you mean by when it's too windy, the wind farms don't work?
The way these large wind structures, windmills, are designed, they have a window of operation of a certain amount of speed of wind. So if it gets real windy, they have to either slow down or shut those turbines off because they'll destruct. They'll actually fly apart. It's dangerous, and they're not, you know, those are huge blades, and you can imagine the amount of resistance those blades are designed, so they will turn in the wind, and when that gets too windy, they just don't work. It would destroy the unit.
All right. Russ Harding is with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Thanks so much, sir.
Yeah, thank you.